Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current events in the light of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. Today is part two of the topic I started last week, confronting leftist evangelical support for the Black Lives Matter movement. And the bottom line is that there are professing Christians who are rallying behind the Black Lives Matter movement and these protests, while a larger segment of the evangelicals are either opposed or suspicious of this movement. Who's right? Who's wrong? What are we misunderstanding about this movement? Are we just talking past each other? Or are there really some ideological differences and beliefs between those on the evangelical right and those on the evangelical left? And most important, what does the Bible have to say about this? Now, the denotative meaning of the title Black Lives Matter is not the real issue. Obviously, all Black lives matter, as do white lives and Asian lives and Hispanic lives. But the movement, BLM, is about far more than valuing the physical life of African Americans. The movement is a whole narrative in support of Marxist critical race theory, anti-capitalism, defund the police, pro-abortion, pro-transgender, pro-rioting, and anti-nuclear family. Here's an article by Ryan Scott Bomberger. Top 10 reasons I'll never support the hashtag Black Lives Matter movement in abortion, black genocide, faith, fatherlessness, LGBT, Planned Parenthood, and racism. Ryan Bomberg is a black man, a spokesperson for the Christian activist group, the Radiance Foundation. So here's a black man who will not support BLM. So what's wrong with him? Well, the title has nothing to do with the ideology of the movement. Don't be fooled by titles. Take, for example, the following leftist organizations: People for the American Way, Media Matters, Planned Parenthood, the American Civil Liberties Union, the Southern Poverty Law Center. All those titles could be used of conservative Christian organizations. But they are all anti-Christian leftist organizations because they define the American way and civil liberties and the role of the media and planning your parenthood from a pagan, ungodly point of view. So, should Christians be told to support these groups? Because who could be against the American way or against civil liberties or against planning your parenthood? No, we all understand what these titles stand for, regardless of how nice they sound on their face. Mike Pence, vice president, genuine Christian with a born-again testimony, was asked by an interviewer to say Black Lives Matter. And Pence refused to say it. But he instead qualified it by saying, I believe all lives matter. And the reporter berated him, saying, you just can't say it, can you? And on social media, if you say Black Lives Matter and then you qualify it with all lives matter, you're accused of being a racist because you're marginalizing the plight of black people. Well, the reason Pence refused to say Black Lives Matter is because it's a slogan that represents a certain racist ideology. Pence was not being fooled by the sloganeering. You know, I recently read a piece of satire that conservatives need to start a group called I Love Puppies. And it will be a pro-life, pro-traditional marriage, anti-LGBT, pro-capitalist movement. And then we should go around and ask people on the left to say, come on and say it. Why can't you say, I love puppies? Why can't you support I love puppies? Well, they won't say it because they understand it's not about loving puppies. Here are some verses that remind us that the wicked will very often use false titles, false words, lies, propaganda. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. In their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Matthew 24, Jesus said, many will come in my name. Proverbs 26:24, he who hates disguises it with his lips, but he lays up deceit in his heart. Proverbs 12:20, deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil. Luke 20:20, so they watched Jesus and sent spies who pretended to be righteous. Psalm chapter 5, verse 9, there is nothing reliable in what they say. Their inward part is destruction itself. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongues. Psalm 12:2, they speak falsehood to one another with flattering lips, and with a double heart they speak. Psalm 55:21, his speech was smoother than butter, but his heart was war. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. BLM is a disingenuous slogan to bring many people on board, to force support, to hide the true agenda, just like Planned Parenthood and People for the American Way and Media Matters and ACLU all have great sounding titles. This whole program could be about deceptive slogans and titles used by the ungodly. And we really need to be prepared for this, because when the Antichrist comes, he's going to use plenty of them. And you will look like evil for not accepting his slogans on face value. Now, in addressing this topic, leftist evangelical support for the BLM movement, we all recognize that there are some Christians who don't know what's going on. They hear Black Lives Matter and think, well, of course, Black Lives Matter. If someone cries, my life matters, you know, who's going to be against that? So these people will quickly say, I support Black Lives Matter. And even if they do know some of the false positions associated with the title, the protests, the riots, they know many others do not. And they don't want to be accused of not believing that Black Lives Matter. Wisdom knows that what you say and what people will hear are often two entirely different things. And we get that. But we must be careful with that, because we don't want to lend our support to a false movement or a false gospel. Because if you are living in 1930s Germany, would you agree with the slogan, Hitler is our Führer? Now in English, it just means our leader. And that sounds biblical. That's actually just Romans chapter 13. But it meant a whole lot more at that time. So that Martin Niemöller, a pastor of a large church in Berlin, was arrested for opposing Hitler's persecution of the Jews. And the judge at Niemöller's trial urged Niemöller to say, Hitler is my Führer. But instead, given the context, Niemöller had to say instead, Jesus is my Führer. And off to prison he went. Oh, and by the way, it took 4 years before Pastor Niemöller came to understand that the Nazi worldview was anti-Christian. Like many other Lutherans, he first mistook it for a Christian movement. So the lesson? Be patient with those Christians who have not yet come to understand the agenda of the left and BLM. Fear not, because in a few years, all true Christians are going to be on the same page with this. So, there's a deception in sloganeering. But what I want to address in this program is professing evangelicals who actually know and believe the underlying ideology of the BLM movement. So let me begin with an example of actual evangelical ideological support of BLM, and that is from Bob the Tomato. Yes, Phil Vischer, the creator of the Christian cartoon VeggieTales and the voice of Bob the Tomato, put out a YouTube in support of BLM called Race in America. And this is where this whole issue can be very deceptive, because his presentation is very convincing. That is, if you're not aware of the underlying fallacies in his argument. And at the heart of his argument is the core error of the BLM movement. And actually, in all race hustlers or race baiters in our generation, as they're often called. And that error is blaming bad behavior on one's environment, one's wealth, one's upbringing, one's neighborhood, how people around you treat you, blaming your behavior on drugs or on education or lack thereof, or blaming it on government policy. But for these people, sin is never considered the result of personal choice. And therefore, people are not personally accountable. Nobody believes in sin anymore. And the core error of modern liberalism in our day is that sin is merely a natural reaction to one's environment. In fact, there is no such thing as sin, because sin would mean a God who is a moral judge and would mean that we are moral creatures totally responsible for our actions regardless of the environment. And as it is, people want to blame everyone and everything else for their sin and failure. Remember, Adam and Eve sinned in paradise, and Jesus overcame temptation in the desert, in the worst environment. So sin is not a function of your environment or what people do to you. And it's so easy for even Christians to buy into this lie, because we kind of seek to try to understand why some people do bad things. And we kind of assume maybe it's something we did to them. Or maybe they had a hard life growing up. And we confuse cause and effect. We see crime in a poor neighborhood and we think their poverty must be causing criminal behavior, when it's actually the other way around. Lawlessness comes first, and then crime and poverty follow. But for the secular materialist, the only way he can explain bad behavior is from the Darwinian model. It's the environment. I've shared this before, but I learned this lesson many years ago as a young pastor working with some poor teens in the neighborhood. We had a very large youth group of kids from the street. Many of them were disadvantaged. And we had one troublesome teenager who showed up and he began to aggravate the other teens. And I said to the other teens, cut him some slack because he doesn't have a father. And then I listed some of his other disadvantages in life. And these teenagers said back to me, not having any theological training, they said, Pastor Brad, we have single parents. We have dads in jail. Our parents are divorced. We're poor. And we don't do the bad things that that kid is doing. Pastor Brad, he does those things because he's evil. So here I was, trained after 6 years of Bible college, and I did not remember or apply what I was supposed to know. 1 John chapter 2, why did Cain kill his brother Abel? Because Cain had handicaps? Because Cain was treated wrongly by his parents? Because God didn't like Cain? Because Cain was not affirmed? No, the Bible says Cain killed his brother because Cain was evil. Period. Bottom line. That's it. No excuses. And that's the only message people who do evil need to hear. That your environment does not make you evil. Your environment is not what keeps you down. In fact, you make your environment. So in his YouTube, Phil Vischer explains that the reason for the anger on the part of the black community, the BLM movement, the protests, the rioting, is because the racism of whites have caused black poverty. And Vischer gives all sorts of economic statistics, such as black income is 60% of white income, that blacks only have 1/10 the household wealth of whites. Now, much can be said about the fallacies of the statistics he quotes, because they all refer to median income. And there's much that can be said refuting grouping people according to the color of their skin rather than other factors. Because whites and Asians and Hispanics who are similarly situated have the identical levels of wealth. But that's beside the main point. I am not even going to buy into the premise that wealth matters that much. The way Vischer describes it, if you don't have wealth, you can't start a business, you can't send your kids to school, you're hopeless. But the premise is actually wrong. Your character, your righteousness is not based upon how much money you make. Like Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, beware and be on guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has abundance does his life consist in possessions. In Matthew chapter 6 verse 19, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. So why are Christians even focusing on money as a cause or function of abundant living? In Matthew chapter 6 verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That should be the priority. Who cares about income level? Philippians chapter 4, having food and raiment, let's be content. And James chapter 2, verse 5, did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom? And 1 Timothy 6, those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires. So yes, we've been fighting against the ungodly racists who held slaves, who passed Jim Crow laws, who were segregationists, but what should our reaction be to that? Vischer concludes his video by saying, I am not here to tell you the right solution because I don't know it. I'm just here to ask you to care. Well, I care, and I believe Christians can know the right solution from the Word of God. A biblical message that needs to be proclaimed to any minority community that is or has been oppressed is that the focus should never be on how the sins of others are keeping you down, but that God promised, if you do what's right, if you become a model citizen, you will rise above your persecutors. And the blame game will destroy any person or any community. Want to destroy a young man? You want to destroy a family? Tell him to blame all of his problems on other people. If there's to be a success, rather than playing the blame game, people need to be taught thanksgiving, forgiveness, and righteousness. The attitudes that God blessed in the life of Joseph. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for my good, in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive. Even all of the persecution from the racists, God meant for the good of the African American community. That's radical. God meant it for good. Now get on and live a righteous, diligent, disciplined Christian life. Walk in the Spirit. And stop tearing down the system as the reason for all of your problems. And you'll be blessed. I'll tell you that the founders of the BLM movement know nothing about God's way to peace. They are playing the blame game, and we should never play into that false gospel. The Christian black minister, Jesse Lee Peterson, who I mentioned last week, wrote in his testimony how his early life was ruined by the blame game. And it all began when he started listening to the racist, race-baiter, Louis Farrakhan. Quote, my neighborhood friends and I would often gather around the radio, listening together and cheering Farrakhan on. And usually, just as Farrakhan had his audience all pumped up, he would say, the blue-eyed devil, the white man, is now keeping you from realizing the wealth and success that should be yours. We blacks were to Farrakhan victims of the conniving, scheming white man. Sitting around on drugs and welfare, we were eager to agree with him. Hearing Farrakhan and his powerful anger inspired me. It made me feel good to be black. It also caused me to hate white people around me and to be suspicious of them. He taught me whites were my enemy. They could not be trusted. I should have as little to do as possible with them. I began to truly hate and resent them. Whenever I saw a white person drive a nice car, I'd curse them. And whenever I'd pass a white person on the street, I'd give them the most menacing stare. Whenever I had a disagreement with anyone white, I automatically ascribed it to racism and bigotry on their part. Farrakhan's message had schooled me in hate. Bear with me as I read on here. The resentment Farrakhan peddled to me was like a drug. It seeped down into my system. This destructive emotion was only reinforced by the rhetoric of black politicians, whose most basic assumption, it seemed to me, was that American society was hopelessly racist. Racism was all around me, I thought. And I began to wonder what was the point of trying to work hard and do well if Whitey was just going to take it all away from me anyway. Now, this was the early 70s, the heyday of the Black Panthers and various other kinds of black agitators, all selling the same message of anger, bitterness, revenge against the white establishment. Spurred by those influences, all the way up until my mid-30s, I was a sullen, furious, racist black man. While my young childhood seemed in some way idyllic, the realities of urban black life had turned me into a brooding and unproductive person. I lived in a culture of hostility, and the only satisfaction I could find was in the temporary high of drugs, alcohol, and sex. These things provided no real satisfaction to me at all. They never do, of course. I thought all my problems were external to myself and beyond my power to fix. I felt I had been victimized by an unfair society. I was passive, expecting the government and politicians to create ways for me to succeed. My battle was with American society. I was certain, and not with myself. By 1988, I was approaching my 40th year of life, and I had nothing to show for it but a lot of confusion and wasted time. I sensed an emptiness in my life, a lack of substance to myself. I sensed I was a weak man and a lost soul with very little true understanding of myself, values, and human nature. Then Peterson goes on to explain how he came to Christ and Christ's way. And he realized that all along, he was really angry at God. You know what we're up against in this BLM movement? False teachers who are pushing a false gospel. 2 Peter chapter 2. Reviling where they have no knowledge, enticing unstable souls, springs without water, clouds without rain, speaking arrogant words of vanity, they entice by fleshly desires, and they promise people freedom while they themselves are slaves of corruption. And evangelicals who support such men and movements are naive. They need to get back to relearning the gospel they profess to believe. Because the only way to detect a counterfeit is to become more familiar with the genuine article. Now, in conclusion, this program has been about BLM. But maybe you are also playing the blame game. Satan has a blame game for everyone. Maybe blaming your parents, your spouse, your job, the government, your lack of wealth, whatever. But actually, you're angry at God. And the only way to have peace is to confess your sin and surrender your life and your destiny to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the way to peace and blessing. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The website to listen to this program again or other past programs is godandcountryradio.org. The YouTube channel for the extended version of this program is God and Country Biblical Exposition. This is YouTube number 126. And thank you for including God and Country. It's just one part of your discipleship in the Word. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, help us to see and proclaim the gospel message clearly so we can reach this generation. Help us to see through the fog of war and expose the errors of the enemy for the sake of your kingdom and your people. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.